don't know what you could possibly expect under this condition, so I'll wait.
This is You Belong to Me. Abandoned Vampires AU, written by Her Love Was a Joke and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated R, contains the pairing of Ryan Ross, Brendan Roy, and is the first story in the Screaming Down the Starlit Sky universe. For more information, such as warnings and story headers, please see the introductory post at YMYJournal. It was unseasonably warm for the time of year, the weather lending itself to t-shirts or light button-downs. There wasn't a jacket in sight, and the vampire smiled as he watched the busy humans rushing past him on the sidewalk. He leaned back against the rough wall of the library building, content to stand in the shadows, unmindful of his immaculate dress or the dirt that undoubtedly clung to the old stonework. So many people, so many possibilities. Brendan was at a loss for all the choice. It almost made him giddy. A young woman walked by, her arm linked with that of another girl as she smiled and whispered secrets too low for anyone else to hear. There was a strong family resemblance between them. Sisters, most likely. It had been some time since he'd taken siblings. But wait, there was a mother with a toddler propped on her narrow hip. She leaned far to the other side to compensate for the extra weight and spoke in a high, happy voice, making the boy smile despite the fatigue in his eyes. Oh, the fun he could have with them. No. The denial was so firm that Brendan nearly looked over his shoulder for Beckett. But no, he wasn't a young fledgling who had to ask permission to feed. He wasn't under anyone's thumb anymore. It was just animal instinct taking over, pointing out something much, much better. There was someone else crossing the street behind the young mother and her baby, a boy almost out of high school. He was slight of build, made painfully obvious by his tight jeans and t-shirt. The shirt was bright red, and the color was so vivid, so familiar, that Brendan was momentarily lost, unable to focus on anything else. The vampire's eyes locked on the boy's face as he threw his head back and closed his eyes, laughing as though he hadn't a care in the world. The movement exposed his throat, and Brendan's eyes were drawn to the pulse point there, watching the subtle shifting of pale skin pulled taut. Sudden want hit Brendan hard, like heat curling low in his belly. He smiled as the boy walked past him, babbling on his cell phone as though nothing monumental had happened at all. Oh, he had no idea what was in store for him. Smiling at the humans retreating back, Brendan tilted his head a little to the side and focused his power on that small, solitary frame. It was easy, really, for a mesmerist of some skill to get what he wanted from an impressionable human. It was even easier when they had no idea he was there. That vampires even existed, let alone were trying to control them. True, it sometimes took the fun out of the hunt when you knew you'd win eventually. But Brendan kind of liked having that particular ace up his sleeve. "You're going to turn left," the instructions he sent. "Then stop and wait for me." The boy approached the intersection, and Brendan watched with a smirk. The expression was short-lived, replaced by equal parts confusion and annoyance. The boy turned right and kept on walking. Looking around to see if his failure had been noticed by any other vampires, and finding, thankfully, that none were around. Brendan adjusted his tie, pulled his hat down low over his eyes, and followed. The boy shoved his key into the mailbox marked Ross, Ryan, and opened the little door. There were two white envelopes inside, both of them bills. Ryan sighed. Sometimes being a grown-up fucking sucked. He slammed the mailbox door with a squeal of protesting hinges and hurried toward the elevator. The building was far from fancy. They were lucky if the elevators were working half the time. The stair climbing would definitely be a godsend if Ryan had weight to lose, but as things were, it was just annoying. He'd never thought of himself as out of shape before, but after the second time he'd been forced to climb 6 flights with 4 heavy bags of groceries, he'd been forced to admit the truth. Even after 4 months, the walls of Ryan's apartment were still the same hideous shade of off-white the building manager had slapped on after the previous tenant left. Yeah, Ryan had some money in the bank, thanks to his grandmother's will. But there was no way he was going to waste that on something as stupid as paint. Not when his job at the bookstore didn't exactly pay enough to cover most of his weekly expenses, let alone his monthly rent. And he'd been dipping into that money more and more since he'd finally been emancipated. Besides, he rarely had anyone over and avoided it when at all possible. And there was no one to impress. He looked at the clock on the wall and shook his head. It was just after 7 and he still had to finish the lab reports that were due in the morning. If he hadn't skipped study hall to pick up an extra shift at work, he would have been almost finished. As it was, he was looking at 2 hours of work, which meant there was no chance he'd be going out. His cell rang just as he was sitting down at the small card table that served as both his dining table and desk. He pulled his old laptop from his backpack before answering. "Don't even start bitching, Spencer," Ryan said by way of greeting. "You're not done yet?" Spencer demanded. Ryan knew that tone of voice well. It was usually accompanied by the most spectacular glare he'd ever seen. "You have study hall, asshole." "Some of us don't have mommies for allowance," Ryan snapped. There was a moment of uncomfortable silence while Spencer tried to figure out what exactly to say to that. Ryan closed his eyes and rubbed at his forehead. "Look," he said, eager to avoid both an argument and a painful attempt at a heart-to-heart. "I'm just tired, man, and Sanders is going to kick my ass if I don't pull at least a B on this assignment. We'll do something tomorrow. There's always a show somewhere." "Yeah," Spencer said, as though nothing had just taken place. Ryan always liked that about Spencer. He knew when the hell to pretend everything was okay. "Let me know if you need any help. I took that class last semester." "Then you should be doing this for me, asshole," Ryan drawled as he watched his laptop boot up. "But then you won't learn nothing," Spencer replied. "An education is incredibly important." "Goodbye, Spencer," Ryan said with a laugh. He tossed his phone down on the table and reached back into his bag, rooting around until he found his biology folder. With any luck, he could get this finished and then actually get 8 uninterrupted hours of sleep. Maybe. If the neighbors would keep it the fuck down. As the yelling started, Ryan sighed. Of course, why mess with tradition? Brendan had been a creature of habit when he was alive. It was the first thing he'd shrugged off after being turned. Being a predator with a routine never served anyone well. Not when there were enemies and allies alike searching for a way to exploit it. In the week since he'd first noticed the boy, Brendan once again stepped into a routine. He wasn't obvious about it, though he certainly didn't sneak around. He was past needing to ask permission to have outside interests. He'd earned that right through both his strength and his loyalty to Beckett. If he was more cautious than usual, it was only because he'd rather not alert any hunters to his presence. He refused to admit that it had anything to do with the fact that his powers still wouldn't work on the kid. He didn't allow himself to dwell on the danger inherent in having someone find out about that. Appearing weak certainly wouldn't do him any favors, either with the dandies or the other gangs. Sometimes you had to watch your allies more than your enemies. Once Beckett had no further need of him for the evening, Brendan fed quickly and hurried to the drab little building where the boy, Ryan, lived. He was on the 6th floor, and if Brendan stood on the opposite side of the street and looked up, he could watch him wandering around his apartment. There were no curtains, and the windows were usually open, no doubt to air out the stuffy little space. Now and then the kid would sit out on the fire escape with his cell phone pressed to his ear. Brendan would eavesdrop, listening to Ryan's voice as it carried down to him. He spent most of his time speaking to someone named Spencer. Ryan had his own routine, one that he had no need to conceal. He attended one of the local schools, Fairview High, where his locker contained little more than blank notebooks and extra pens. Brendan was sad to note after all the trouble it had taken him to track his scent through the halls. He worked at a small, independent bookstore a few blocks away from home, and he spent most of his time with his best friend. Brendan filed away that last bit of information, knowing that it might one day prove useful. "I'm coming, fuck!" The words floated over to where Brendan stood, partially hidden by the shadows. Ryan was pushing open the main door to his building, still shrugging into his jacket and trying to balance his cell phone between his cheek and shoulder. "I am not late. You're just being a bitch. I swear, it's like having a girlfriend again." Ryan crossed the street without checking for cars first, so absorbed in his conversation that he walked toward the vampire without really seeing him. He was scratching at his forehead as he passed by. And as Brendan tracked the movement of those thin, elegant fingers, something there caught his eye. A scar, thin and flat, mostly hidden by Ryan's hair. It could explain so, so much. Humans were, after all, such fragile things. It didn't take much to alter them. With renewed interest, Brendan continued to eavesdrop, taking note of Ryan's destination. He knew it well, had hunted there multiple times before. It would be no trouble at all to get there before Ryan did. Gray was a lame all-ages club that, as a general rule, only seemed to book shitty bands. Exceptions were made now and then, of course, and those were the times that Ryan bothered to show up. As Ryan held his hand out to be stamped, he searched the crowd for familiar faces. There were a few kids from his math class standing over near the coat check, and another from biology near one of the tables. He couldn't see Spencer anywhere, but the club was big enough that they'd had to use their cell phones to find each other before. The band wouldn't go on for another half hour, but Ryan knew that if he and Spencer wanted a good view, they would have to start pushing their way toward the stage. He was reaching for his cell, intent on explaining this to Spencer, when someone bumped into him. Unfamiliar fingers skittered along Ryan's arm, pressing into his wrist in an effort to stop the forward momentum and regain balance. "Sorry about that." The words were soft and lazy, drawled directly into Ryan's ear. He could feel the other guy's breath on his neck as he took a second longer than necessary to step back. The fingertips on Ryan's wrist swirled lightly over the pulse point before pulling away. For a moment, Ryan was almost disappointed to lose the contact, the heat and the friction of skin on skin that he hadn't had in so very long. The thought made him scowl. He wasn't usually that easy, even if it had been a while. Glare firmly in place, he turned to the guy who was obviously trying to pick him up and stared like an idiot. Wow. He was incredibly overdressed for a place like Gray. Expensive clothes, tailored and fitted. An honest-to-fucking-God waistcoat and hat. He looked like he'd taken a wrong turn on his way to a cocktail party at an art gallery, or something equally as stupid and boring. "Are you lost?" Ryan asked, forcing his eyes back to the stranger's face. "Not in the least," the guy replied, a small, smug smile tugging on his lips. He slid his hands into the pockets of his trousers. Fucking trousers, Ryan thought, and rocked back and forth on his feet.
You don't look like you come here often,
Ryan said, after a moment of silence that quickly became uncomfortable. He tried to pinpoint the guy's age, but it was dark, and all he could tell was that he was somewhat older. It was difficult to make out more than general features, but his eyes? Ryan had to look away momentarily, needed a reprieve from those dark eyes, that intense look. Yes, well, the guy laughed softly, and something pulled low in Ryan's belly at the sound of it. Deep and rich and just for him, like there was no one else in the room. We wear the uniform as required. He smoothed his hand down his waistcoat and gave a tiny smile, his eyes shining with a private joke that he had no intention of sharing.
Are you here for the band?
Ryan asked stupidly. As soon as the words were out of his mouth, Ryan felt his face grow warm. It was probably the dumbest thing he could have asked. Of course the guy was there for the band. Everyone was there for the band. He felt like an idiot, and as he mentally berated himself, he wondered why the hell he felt so awkward and nervous. The guy was kind of interesting, yeah, but he was just a guy. One who looked kind of ridiculous, but who had the confidence to make it work. Maybe that's what did it. I'm Brendan, the guy said instead. He pulled one hand from his pocket, and for a second, Ryan thought he was going to hold it out to shake. He didn't, though, and Ryan was happy for that. Odd clothes he could deal with. Antiquated rituals he had absolutely no time for. Ryan! Spencer shouted next to Ryan's head, making him jump sideways and clap his hands over his now ringing ear in a vain attempt to save some of his hearing. What the fuck, Spence? Ryan demanded, turning a bitchy glare on his friend. I've been calling your name for 2 whole minutes, man, Spencer said by way of explanation. You were totally ignoring me. Not really. Ryan had just been a little distracted. Come on, we're going to be stuck next to those chicks from my English class if we don't find a better spot. Spencer shoved at Ryan's back until he finally started moving in the appropriate direction. Ryan went a few steps before digging his heels in, twisting around to catch Brendan's eye. He was laughing. I'll catch you later, Ryan, Brendan said with a smile. It was past midnight when Brendan finished with his obligations for the night. He'd fed earlier with the others, and so was able to head straight for the ugly apartment building where he'd taken to spending a large portion of his nights. He hadn't spoken to Ryan since that night at Gray's, but even 2 days later he was still riding the high of that brief contact. He could still see it so clearly. Ryan's pulse beneath his fingers, his wide, surprised eyes, the nearly imperceptible hitch of his breath at Brendan's parting promise. Their meeting had been
perfect. He wanted to do it again.
The apartment was dark and nearly silent. The only noise filtering out into the cool night air was the faint music from the headphones that Ryan had fallen asleep with. Brendan leaned back against the railing on the fire escape and watched the slow, even movements of Ryan's form as he slept. He was curled up in bed, wrapped in heavy blankets and pressed against the wall, lost to the kind of dreams that saw his head move restlessly across the pillow. Brendan wondered how long it had taken him to fall asleep, whether he'd spent time out on the fire escape beforehand. If so, had he been wearing nothing but those low-slung sweatpants like the last time, his narrow hip bones sticking out in sharp relief? Had anyone else seen him? Wanted him? Brendan's hands clenched into fists.
So, this is what's been keeping you occupied.
Brendan did a wonderful job of hiding his surprise. He didn't even blink at the unexpected voice close to his ear. He wasn't usually so careless as to let someone sneak up on him, but this was Beckett, and if he didn't want you to sense that he was there, you'd never know until the very end.
Beckett, Brendan said in greeting, keeping his tone neutral.
He waited several moments before taking his eyes from Ryan's window. He straightened the cuff of his jacket and turned toward the other vampire.
How did you know?
You're not exactly subtle, Brendan. Not to those of us who know you. You hunt early and quickly and then disappear for the rest of the night. Of course it piqued my interest. It's been so long since you had a hobby.
Brendan nodded.
Boy or girl? Beckett asked, unable to see much from his vantage point on the fire escape. Only the very top of Ryan's head was visible from his blanket cocoon. Beckett closed his eyes and concentrated for a moment, leaning into the breeze that skirted the building and Ryan's open window.
I can smell a boy, he said.
He must be something special to get your attention.
Interesting, Brendan corrected. Never special. Special garnered too much attention to be entirely safe.
So many of them are, Beckett agreed with a nod. There was a moment of silence between them, during which Brendan became painfully aware that Beckett's appearance was not so much idle curiosity as it was an inspection. His voice might have been light, conversational, and a little amused, but he was still there in an official capacity, there to pass judgment as the head of the Dandies. Whatever he decided, Brendan would abide by it with no questions asked. Beckett, after all, had his loyalty right from day one, and Brendan had clawed his way out of a cold grave, terrified and horrified, only to find a vampire leaning against the granite headstone, waiting with a patient smile. Ryan, a simple human boy, would never be able to compete with that. Brendan did the only thing he could, given the situation. He shrugged and did his best to look disinterested.
Nothing to see here. No dangerous obsessions.
Beckett threw his head back and laughed. The sound wrapped itself around Brendan as though it were a physical thing, slithering beneath his clothes to pet at his skin, to settle in the pit of his stomach like it always did whenever he had Beckett's full attention. The older vampire slid an arm around him and pulled him close, pressing a kiss against Brendan's mouth.
You try too hard, Beckett said. And that gives you away. Have your boy. Play your games. I'll even warn the others off, if you'd like.
Brendan would have liked that very much, but he kept that knowledge to himself. The cost of such a favor would certainly be far more than he was willing to pay. Ryan's shift at Elliot Books was scheduled to end at 9. By the time he'd managed to get old man Tyler out of his regular seat by the window, did a quick cleanup, and locked the money in the back room, it was nearly 9:45. He'd probably be paid for the extra time. Mrs. Elliot was nothing if not a pushover for a sweet young boy like Ryan. But that was not the point. The point was, he'd had plans. And now he didn't, because the movie started at 9:30 and his friends had gone without him. He locked the door and slung his backpack over his shoulder before heading back in the direction of his apartment. He settled the bag more comfortably on his shoulder as he walked and pulled out his iPod. He was sliding the earbuds in when he heard it. A pained gasp and a terrified moan. Ryan stopped on the sidewalk, turning slowly toward the darkened parking lot, careful not to make any sudden movements as he peered into the shadows. One of the streetlights was out, creating a slice of darkness in the back corner of the empty lot. He could make out a few tall figures, men standing shoulder to shoulder, staring at something on the ground. Ryan was about to keep moving, to pretend he hadn't seen anything, when he saw her. There was a woman on the ground, and even though Ryan could barely see her face, he could tell by the way she hunched in on herself that she was beyond scared. He was moving before his mind even registered the intent, long strides as his feet left the sidewalk, jogging across the road without even checking for oncoming traffic. "Hey!" he yelled, his voice ringing out in the quiet street. The three men, all dressed in dark leather and heavy boots, turned to look at Ryan from over their shoulder. They were pierced, and the looks in their eyes, even from this far away, was anything but friendly. The red-haired woman cried softly into the ground, happy to have been momentarily forgotten. "Oh, kid, you have no idea what you've just done," one of the punks said, a nasty smile distorting his mouth. There was something wrong with the expression, something that Ryan's mind just couldn't put together. His eyes widened as the men turned toward him, all three of them wearing identical, grotesque smiles. The other two seemed to be waiting, though, half a step behind, though whether for permission or something else, Ryan didn't know. He took a step back, his eyes moving frantically, searching for a way out of the situation he'd found himself in. There was nothing, nowhere to hide, no one to save him. He was well and truly fucked, as only he could be. Because only he would do something so spectacularly stupid. Turning on his heel, Ryan took off running. He frantically patted at his pockets, both jacket and jeans, searching for his cell. The phone wasn't in his pocket, though. It was most likely buried at the bottom of his backpack, under his schoolbooks, and probably also his extra sweater. "Oh, fuck, fuck!" he yelled, forcing his legs to move faster as he heard the unmistakable sound of three people chasing after him. A distant part of his mind was happy that the girl had a chance to get away, but little good that would do him if they found his body in a fucking dumpster in the morning. For a moment, Ryan thought he could make it. His apartment building wasn't that far away, and even though he didn't chance losing his footing by looking over his shoulder, he was pretty sure the guys were starting to lag behind. Maybe climbing 6 flights of stairs every time the elevator broke down was worth it after all. He was feeling almost giddy when rough hands grabbed his shoulders, throwing him to the ground. His hands went out to break his fall, the asphalt digging into his palms, splitting and tearing open the knees of his jeans. A well-placed kick saw him rolling onto his back, gasping for air as he was roughly pulled up by his jacket. Ryan fought back as well as he was able, hitting out blindly, clawing at whatever skin his blunt nails could reach. He screamed as he fought, trying to attract attention or at least make the three guys think twice about going through with whatever it was they'd planned to do to that girl. It didn't work, though, and Ryan could tell that right away. The punk who held him shook him like a rag doll, Ryan's head snapping violently back and forth on his neck, making him see stars as he fought to breathe over the rising hysteria. As he tried to claw at his attacker's eyes again, Ryan found his arms pulled tightly behind him, wrenching the bones in their sockets. He groaned at the bright flare of pain, the sound turning into a near shriek when he felt strong fingers in his hair, grabbing at the strands and forcing his head back and to the side. "Are they going to slit my throat?" Ryan thought frantically, kicking his legs wildly in an effort to hit anything. How the hell were his feet still off the ground? The guy who held him, the same one who'd spoken earlier, laughed as he moved forward, his smile growing, distending his mouth, showing off something that Ryan refused to believe. He screamed instead, fighting like a wild animal, wrenching his arms in their sockets, pulling his hair out by the roots, and not feeling a thing. "This isn't happening," Ryan thought. "Only in movies! Only in movies!" The vampire was getting closer now, his mouth wet, breath sour. Ryan clenched his eyes shut so he wouldn't have to watch. "Don't let it hurt. Please don't let it hurt," he begged silently. The vampire's lips had barely touched Ryan's throat before Ryan was pulled back, skittering across the pavement, away from the three men and the new arrivals who seemed to be paying him no mind at all. Everything happened quickly then. The two guys who dragged him away were joined by two others, all four of them holding what looked to Ryan like honest-to-God fucking steaks. They worked quickly, obviously well-trained and more than capable of taking the three vampires, running them through and letting them fall to the ground. Ryan watched with wide eyes, unable to turn away. "Hey, kid, you okay?" one of the guys asked as he slid his cap more firmly on his head. He turned toward Ryan and looked at him critically. It took Ryan a moment to process his words. "The fuck?" he asked. He swallowed hard and tried again, his voice stronger this time. "What the fuck?" "Yeah, I'd say he's fine," the one in a red hoodie remarked sarcastically. Ryan didn't think he liked him much, even if the guy had just saved his life. "What's your name, kid?" the one with the hat said after throwing an exasperated look at his friend. It was ridiculous, really. Ryan wasn't that much younger than this guy. Although, if he spent his time killing those things, vampires, his mind asserted, then maybe he did have the right to be a little condescending. "My name is Ryan," he replied. "Ryan, I'm Patrick, and that jackass is Pete. Over there's Joe and Andy." He pointed to the other two guys, but Ryan didn't see which name went with which bored expression. "Is anything broken?" Patrick asked. "Besides my worldview?" he thought. "I don't think so," Ryan said instead. He flexed his joints to be sure. They hurt like hell, but everything was moving. "The girl," he began, feeling shame at the thought of having momentarily forgotten her. "She ran while they were chasing you," Pete interrupted. "Didn't feel like returning the favor, I guess. Which was dumb, by the way." Ryan got the feeling that Pete meant him and not the girl. "Pete," Patrick began. "No, he's right," Ryan admitted. "I didn't think, I just reacted." "There's worse things to be than a good person," Patrick said soothingly. "I guess," Ryan said, letting Patrick help him to his feet and hold him up momentarily when he swayed back and forth on unsteady legs. "Come on," Patrick said. "There's a coffee shop not far from here. I'll buy you something to drink."
"I just got attacked by vampires. Fucking vampires! And you're taking me for coffee?"
Ryan asked incredulously.
"That about sums it up, yeah," Pete replied. "Let's go."
Joe and Andy opted out, instead deciding to go home now that the fun was over. Ryan couldn't exactly blame them. If he'd been in their shoes, he'd probably ditch the former damsel in distress, too. He, Pete, and Patrick walked in silence for several minutes before Ryan couldn't take it anymore.
"Motherfucking vampires," he said to himself.
"Yep," Patrick said.
"They're real," Ryan said.
"Looks like," Pete replied.
"Okay, then," Ryan said. Really, what else was he going to say?
"I don't recommend doing that again," Patrick told Ryan as they chose a table and fell into their chairs, hands clasped around hot paper cups.
"Don't worry," Ryan promised. "I have no intention of ever seeing another vampire again."
"Yeah, that's not gonna be easy, seeing as they're fucking everywhere," Pete said, before taking the lid off his tea and blowing across the top of the cup. At Ryan's wide-eyed stare, Patrick jumped in. "But you can be safe, Ryan. Stay in groups, don't go out at night, that sort of thing." Ryan thought about his job, his friends, and knew he'd never be able to do that all the time.
"Do they all look like that?"
Maybe he could just avoid anyone in leather for the rest of his life. That seemed a little easier than never leaving his apartment after nightfall.
"No," Pete said with a shake of his head. "The look varies by gang. Those are punks, but there are others to watch out for."
Ryan listened intently as Pete went through each gang, picking out their most distinctive characteristics, trying his best to commit it all to memory.
"And then there's the dandies," he said,
his lip curling in distaste.
"They stand out the most, really. Don't ever seem to blend in, no matter where they go."
"What?" Ryan asked sharply.
"They're very well-dressed," Patrick replied, either ignoring or not noticing Ryan's tone. "And there aren't many places where they aren't noticeable."
"They stand out the most, really," Keith had said. "A waistcoat, hat, trousers." He'd looked so out of place.
"Brendan?"
"We wear the uniform as required. I'll catch you later, Ryan."
"Fuck. Son of a bitch," Ryan muttered.
Gray had, once again, managed to book a decent band. Twice in 2 weeks. It was astonishing. If it happened a third time, Ryan would probably die from the shock. For 3 days after he'd met Pete and Patrick, Ryan skipped school. He'd switched shifts with Emily, a college student who had recently figured out that actually attending lectures would improve her failing grades. Ryan found that he liked day shifts. He also found that he liked the fact that vampires would, most likely, not attack him in broad daylight. However, his own GPA wouldn't allow him to hide out in the evenings anymore. His teachers hadn't taken long to start questioning his absence. Neither, it turned out, had his friends. Spencer kept asking if he was afraid of the dark. There were only so many nightlight jokes a guy could take before he snapped. He'd just have to do his best impression of his ex-girlfriend and stick with a group. If it meant pissing with three of his closest friends, or really, a few guys whose names he mostly remembered, then so be it. The club was surprisingly packed. News of the band's show had apparently spread quickly. Ryan stood near the wall, close to Spencer and some guy from his math class. His name might have been Corey, and his girlfriend. Ryan searched the crowd, looking intently for anyone who might be out of place. No one caught his eye, but that didn't mean much. Maybe there was a gang who dressed like scene kids and Pete just hadn't told him. Or maybe they just hadn't arrived yet. The thought made Ryan shudder. He rubbed tiredly at his eyes. He hadn't slept much in the last few days, not when all he could see when he closed his eyes were cold, strong hands, sharp nails and fangs. He might have hidden under his blankets a little, certain that he was being watched, but he'd never admit to it. "You know, there was a time when you weren't a complete wallflower," Spencer said wistfully, close to Ryan's ear so he could be heard over the music. "I liked those times. I miss those times."
"Fuck you," Ryan said,
but there was no heat in it. He couldn't exactly argue the point when he literally had his back against the wall.
"I'm thirsty," he said instead.
"Then go get a drink," Spencer suggested.
"Come with me," Ryan asked, trying to sound casual about it. He didn't exactly pull it off, but couldn't find it in himself to worry about looking like a pussy. Not when there were fucking vampires out there. He was doing this as much for Spencer and what's-his-name as he was for himself.
"Fine, but you're going to tell me what the hell is going on with you," Spencer said.
"Like hell," Ryan thought, but he didn't tell Spencer that. They were jostled by the crowd as they attempted to make their way toward the bar. Ryan almost lost his grip on Spencer's belt. He was not clinging, damn it! But a death glare aimed at the two girls who tried to cut between them took care of that. Ryan looked over his shoulder to see if what's-his-name and his girlfriend were following. They were, which really made things easier on Ryan. If he didn't have to keep coming up with excuses for them all to stay in a group, maybe he'd get out of this with his pride intact. He was sipping his $4 Diet Coke 10 minutes later, leaning against the wall with Spencer and the kid whose name he still couldn't remember, when he finally caught sight of a hat in the crowd. Normally, a hat wasn't such a big deal. Half the kids were wearing something on their heads. But no. This looked like a fucking derby. And really, how arrogant were the dandies that they didn't even bother trying to fit in? Ryan gripped his plastic cup tightly, making it creak as the sides came dangerously close to splitting. It was Brendan. He could tell even from the back. He was laughing with some young girl, bent down to speak quietly in her ear. Ryan's breath caught in his chest as he watched, and wondered what the hell he was supposed to do. He couldn't just let that kid be bitten. He didn't have to do anything, though, because in the end, Brendan untangled himself from the girl and stepped back. He looked over at Ryan then, and smirked. Ryan's cup split in two, showering the front of his shirt with half a can's worth of Coke. "What the fuck, man?" Spencer asked, wiping droplets of soda from his arm onto the sleeve of Ryan's shirt. "Seriously, do we need to get you a sippy cup?"
"Sorry," Ryan muttered.
He dropped his broken cup to the ground and did his best to wring out his shirt.
"You should maybe do that in the bathroom," Spencer suggested.
"Come with me?" Ryan asked. What little pride he had left was quickly leaving him as he found himself very near to begging.
Do you still even have a dick? Spencer asked.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now,
Ryan replied. Spencer laughed. It was obvious that he knew. How, Brendan wasn't sure, but Ryan's wide eyes and pounding heart gave him away. Brendan could hear it even from across the club, steady and strong, and a little panicked. It made him smile. The boy was doing his best to stay in a group, going so far as to encourage complete strangers to join them. It was clear that his friends didn't appreciate Ryan's concern for their safety. It didn't matter, of course. Brendan could do away with them easily enough. He watched them for a few more minutes, though, delighting in the way Ryan held on to his best friend and tried to keep himself calm. Brendan started with the outsiders first. It would arouse less suspicion, he knew, if the strangers suddenly danced away, heading to the other side of the club as though they'd tired of Ryan's odd behavior. Once they were gone, Brendan dealt with the boy with the girlfriend. It was ridiculously easy to use his powers to get them to make out and forget everyone else in the room. They were hardly unique, of course, as there were more couples kissing in the club than there were kids singing along to the horrible music. There was nothing in that to worry Ryan, nothing to make him wonder just what the vampire was up to. Brendan laughed a little to himself. The best friend, though, that was a little more difficult. There was no way to subtly send him off in another direction, not when Ryan was practically holding on to the back of his shirt. There would be nothing natural about it, and Ryan would know immediately. Brendan pushed himself away from the bar, straightening his shoulders, and began to make his way to where the two boys were standing, bickering about something unimportant in the grander scheme of things. When Spencer stopped and cocked his head to the side, Ryan's eyes went even wider. "Spence?" he asked, snapping his fingers in front of his friend's face, frowning, but nothing happened. "Spencer, what's wrong?" "Nothing," Brendan replied, watching Ryan jump when he realized that he'd lost sight of the vampire. "He's just going to take a little walk now." He waved his hand, and Spencer took off in that general direction. "Spencer!" Ryan exclaimed as he grabbed hold of his friend's arm. The other boy just kept on walking until he pulled free of Ryan's grasp. "You know, Ryan, I think you're avoiding me," Brendan said with a pout. "I thought we had something special, you and I." He moved forward again, crowding Ryan against the wall. To anyone else, nothing looked out of the ordinary. They were just two boys without inhibitions. It was why Brendan hunted the clubs. Their idea of appropriate behavior matched his own a little better than most places where humans gathered. "What did you do to Spencer?" Ryan demanded. He was angry, but there was an undercurrent of fear that made Brendan want to sing. "He'll be fine in the end. Don't worry about him," he replied with a lazy smile. "I already told you he's just going for a walk. I wanted to talk to you. Tell me, Ryan, who spilled my secrets?" The chances were slim that someone had approached Ryan about Brendan in particular, especially when Brendan could smell fresh bruises all over the boy. But he was a dandy, after all, and so had arrogance to spare. "You meet all kinds at night," Ryan said. "That you do," Brendan said with a laugh. "Well, you're bruised, but still alive," he mused, his hand going out to press against Ryan's chest, where he knew a particularly livid bruise was hiding beneath his clothes. He wished he could see it, but had to content himself with Ryan's wince. "That means someone saved you. I'm grateful for that, so tell me, Ryan,
Who should I send the fruit basket to? If his powers worked on this boy, he'd have forced the answer out of him. Wouldn't have even needed to go to all this trouble. Still, Brendan found he enjoyed the uncertainty of the outcome.
Patrick and Pete were very informative, Ryan said, gritting his teeth against the pain in his chest. Couldn't really get them to shut up, actually.
Brendan stopped pressing on Ryan's bruises and raised an eyebrow in question. Well, that had been unexpected.
Really?
He asked. So they taught you all about vampires, did they? At Ryan's defiant nod, Brendan moved closer, nosing along the boy's jaw before leaning in close to his ear. His lips brushed Ryan's skin as he spoke, sending involuntary shivers down his spine. Did Pete happen to reveal any interesting truths about himself, by chance? Ryan didn't answer. Brendan could practically taste his confusion.
He might not wear the clothes, but he's one of us just the same. He might spend his nights killing us, but that doesn't change a thing. You need to pick better role models, Ryan.
Brendan could smell Ryan's distress, could hear the change in the beating of his heart and in his breathing. He was close to panic, but he believed, didn't need to be painstakingly convinced like Brendan thought he might. Evidently, he'd noticed something different about Pete, but in his gratitude had managed to convince himself otherwise. Brendan was glad. Stupid boys held no appeal to him. Ryan's hands pressed sharply against Brendan's chest, trying to shove the vampire away from him. Brendan let him push for a few moments, making it clear that the only way he was moving was if he felt like it. Once he'd made his point, he stepped back and smiled sweetly. Collect your friend, Ryan. He'll have a headache in the morning. Tuck him back in and tell him not to drink so much. After all, he's still underage. With another smile and a tip of his hat, Brendan disappeared into the crowd, heading for the nearest door. He'd already fed that night, and the crush of bodies held little appeal to him. All except one. And that would have to wait. Occasionally, Brendan was capable of being a patient man. The bookstore where Ryan worked was one of those simple little affairs that wasn't all that nice to look at, and which customers visited simply because they liked the staff. Elliot Books was a tiny independent shop that specialized in hard-to-find and out-of-print volumes. They favored local presses and books with substance, though they had several racks of sordid contemporary paperbacks near the front. Lure them in with near pornography? Get them to stay for the allegorical views of the world. There was comfortable leather chairs scattered around the shop, often occupied by university students flipping through books, trying to determine whether the page numbers would match up with what was in their syllabus. Occasionally, Brendan would follow one of those students home, press them up against a wall and mesmer them into talking about Ryan, the things he'd said to them, the thoughts they'd had when they looked at him. Now and then he'd make a meal out of them, but doing that meant they'd never visit the little bookshop again, and his game would have to end. As it turned out, he really enjoyed hearing other people's fantasies about Ryan Ross. With a smile, Brendan pushed open the door, the little bell above announcing his arrival. Ryan was busy at one of the racks, trying to help a middle-aged housewife find the latest volume in a series of spectacular medieval porn that masqueraded as romance. Ryan looked bored as he offered to check the catalog and see if it was a title they regularly offered. Brendan chuckled low in his throat as he passed them, the soft sound drawing Ryan's head up sharply. Brendan turned to look at the boy over his shoulder, winking at the wide eyes and open mouth. grabbed a cheap paperback from a nearby shelf and made his way toward one of the well-worn leather chairs. It put him directly in Ryan's field of vision whenever he was at the register. With a smile, Brendan began to page through the book he'd chosen. Bram Stoker was lame, but Brendan did love the absurdity of reading it. He was careful not to catch Ryan's gaze again that evening, preferring to steal sidelong glances as Ryan was busy with customers or shelving books. Still, he could feel Ryan's eyes on him for most of the night, the weight of it almost a physical thing. Brendan just kept flipping through his book, treating it as though it was the most interesting thing he'd ever read. Ryan's heart continued to pound, its beating so erratic that Brendan worried he was going to pass out. He thought about the old scar hidden by Ryan's hair, and wondered once again about it. When Ryan's shift ended at 8, Brendan made a point of staying in his chair, of letting Ryan leave the bookstore by himself. He knew roughly how long it took to walk from the bookshop to Ryan's apartment, and cut the time in half, knowing that Ryan would hurry. After 10 minutes, Brendan threw his book aside and left, turning in the opposite direction from which Ryan had gone. They repeated the routine 3 times before Brendan grew tired of it. He enjoyed watching Ryan, but there was something to be said for being able to stare as much as he wanted. Staring at Ryan while Ryan stared back did surprisingly little for him after a few minutes. Now, it was much more interesting to watch Ryan doing something, or, at the very least, trying to do something while dealing with the distraction Brendan created. In order to add variety to his little game, Brendan let himself in through the back door of Elliot Books, forcing the lock on the plain gray door in the alley with little trouble. He made his way past stacks of cardboard boxes in the back room, paying them little attention as he headed for the door leading to the sales floor. Due to the terrible weather, heavy rain that had been falling for most of the day, the store was nearly empty. The only customer was one of the university kids, a fair-haired boy named Jacob that Brendan had interrogated once before. He'd had quite a lot to say about Ryan, and Brendan wasn't all that surprised to see him there again. Leaning against one of the lower bookshelves near the far wall, Brendan made himself comfortable and watched as the older boy leaned against the counter near the cash register. Jacob was flirting. It was awkward. There was no skill there, no sense of subtlety or pacing. He came on strong right from the beginning. Though Ryan laughed, Brendan could tell he was laughing at Jacob's awkward advances more than anything else. The scene made the vampire smile and shake his head. So very pathetic. When Jacob's fingers reached out to slowly stroke the back of Ryan's hand, Brendan decided that it was time for the boy to leave. It was easy to put the suggestion in his head, to make him stand upright and collect his book bag, to leave without saying a word. Ryan was a smart boy. He immediately turned to look for Brendan. Ryan found him leaning against the bookcase and closed his eyes momentarily. "You should thank me, Ryan," Brendan said as he pushed away from the shelf and slowly made his way toward the register. "That was a spectacularly bad attempt at a pickup. I saved you from having to deal with Jacob's grabby hands and terrible technique." "At least he's still alive," Ryan said, opening his eyes and fixing Brendan with a glare. It was sweet how he tried so hard to be strong, to hide his fear and hold on to the anger. He almost succeeded, and Brendan couldn't wait until he did. He had the feeling that furious Ryan would be as beautiful to look at as terrified Ryan was. "A beating heart is overrated," Brendan replied. He toyed with a stack of hardcover philosophy books that had earlier been dumped on the edge of the counter, arranging them in a perfectly straight pile, knowing that Ryan's eyes would be drawn to the movement.
Not those of us who have one, Ryan insisted.
That's just because you've never known anything different, Brendan said with a small smile.
Can't fault you for that, I suppose. You're human. Your views are shaped only by your past experiences, not future possibilities. It's a shame, really.
He abandoned the books in favor of coming around to the other side of the counter. If he'd wanted to, he could have jumped over, been pressed up against him before Ryan's eyes could even register the movement. But no, his movements were slow, deliberate, and intended to give Ryan advanced warning. The boy backed up as far as he was able to go, but the edge of the U-shaped formica kept him pinned in place.
"What are you doing?" he asked, his voice soft, barely above a whisper.
His eyes were wide again, his heart pounding, and Brendan smiled sweetly.
"You're playing my song," he said, his voice equally as soft as his palm came up to press against Ryan's chest, feeling the strong heartbeat vibrate through his entire arm.
"You just said it was overrated," Ryan replied, watching warily as Brendan dragged his hand from Ryan's chest to his shoulder, then down to his wrist. He gripped the narrow wrist tightly with iron fingers, making it very clear that the only way Ryan would get away was if Brendan decided to let him go. Still, Ryan tried to twist his hand away and succeeded only in raising bruises along the pale skin.
"Call it a guilty pleasure," Brendan said, as he raised the captive wrist to his mouth.
Ryan's breath caught in his throat, and he tried to pull away. There was nowhere for him to go, with the counter biting into his back and Brendan, strong and immobile, at his front. Brendan smiled against Ryan's sensitive skin, letting his teeth graze gently across the veins there. At Ryan's scared little whimper, Brendan licked him once, twice, before settling his tongue firmly against the pulse point. They stood there for several long minutes, their eyes locked. Brendan smug, Ryan's disbelieving. The wrist still held against Brendan's mouth. He dragged his tongue in small figure eights, delighted in the tiny hitch of breath in Ryan's chest, and sucked long and deep to raise a bruise in the shape of his mouth. Brendan moaned and felt his eyelids grow heavy. They were interrupted by the bell above the door. Ryan jumped, his eyes flying toward the new arrival. He tugged on his arm again, but this time Brendan let him go. He took a step back, leaving a semi-respectable distance between them. Brendan recognized the scent immediately. It was a faithful regular, the lecherous, but ultimately harmless, old man who always sat near the window. He was particularly fond of Ryan's bottom lip. "I'll leave you to deal with him," Brendan said softly, leaning forward to brush his mouth against Ryan's. The boy reacted exactly how Brendan thought he would. He jumped backwards and nearly lost his balance. "Try not to miss me, Ryan. I'll be back." He was whistling as he left the bookshop, and laughing as he made his way down the street, waving at Ryan through the window.